episode 10.
What are we doing for episode 10?
It's opened.
Okay, so we're doing what? Panini?
Atlanta Panini.
Well, let's start off with a proper introduction. Welcome to the show, everyone. This is Into the 99, where we have 99 cards to Commander number one. I'm one of your hosts, Sherman.
I'm Hope.
I'm Daniel, and we have a guest today with us.
I'm Brian.
The infamous Brian.
The one and only.
I feel like I should talk with a deep voice.
Ooh, so sexy.
Brian, the table nemesis.
Scoot.
It's basically what every game turns into.
Why are we friends again?
We already discussed this. You taught me everything I know.
Yeah. Brian is completely Sherman's fault.
A real Jedi situation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, I'm...
Disney, please don't pull this.
I'm going to pay for Disney Plus, I swear.
Ooh, I still need to do that.
Now you're signed into a vocal contract.
Anyways, today we're talking Atla Palani, or Atla Panini, as everyone else calls her.
Everybody that's ever played this card has called her.
If you don't call it Atla Panini, you're not having fun.
Okay, no more talking about paninis. I'm getting hungry.
Panini Plus.
I'm getting so hungry. It's early. I only had two breakfasts.
Like the first time I heard it, someone called it Atlanta.
Atlanta Panini.
I was like, is that a new sandwich shop?
Love it.
Should we go right now?
They serve only eggs.
Everything has an egg in it.
What does this commander do, Sherman?
I don't know. I'm thinking of a sandwich right now.
Sherman.
I really am. I'm daydreaming. Like, I want a sandwich now.
Eyes on the prize.
Yeah, a sandwich. Okay, so... let's see here. I was going to say panini again.
That's fine.
That's tender. It's a one red, white, green human shaman for a 2/3. And its abilities are... 2 and a tap for create a 0/1 egg creature token with Defender. And whenever an egg you control dies, reveal a card from the top of your library until you reveal a creature card. Put that card onto the battlefield and the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. Which is awesome, because... I know everyone always puts in like 20, 30, 40 creatures kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
I would just put in like 2.
Yeah, get the exact ones that you want.
Well, if you get the Ulamog, yeah. You know, it's like every time it goes to the graveyard or whatever, it goes back to your library. Oh, just keep on bringing it back.
Only Blightsteel Colossus, and if it goes to the graveyard, it shuffles in.
Yes! I'm that kind of a jerk. Let's face it.
You guys are animals.
Blightsteel Colossus Roulette?
This is
and
not.
You guys call me. A monster.
Brian, you're still a monster.
So you guys are missing the point. This is not how we do this. Not in this house.
Okay, so we're moving to your house, Brian.
The okay. Podcast is suddenly done in the dark.
Yeah.
We're all ashamed to show our faces.
That's why we have
everyone shows
that.
Up in hoods.
That's why we don't do YouTube videos.
Okay, so let's talk about this card, okay? So in a deck, normally, the main goal is to play large creatures that are hard to deal with.
As, yeah, could be expected from the being able to go and roulette cards when egg creatures die.
I love big creatures.
Same. That's one thing we have in common, Brian.
The main tribes you generally see with this are angels, dragons, dinosaurs, really, really big smashy things. Or general, just ETB nonsense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, if you have all of that, those Mana Ramp cards, Murari's Wake, mm-hmm. and everything else, you're just like, it's a tap ability, so it doesn't really work. But
yeah, well, you can still be like,
but you can untap them real easy.
Yeah, that's true. Like, it gives you infinite, like, you can have so much mana just go boop, 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 boop,
ding,
boop,
ding.
Boop.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like so many things, you know, like good thing this commander doesn't have blue.
Yeah.
Like, hey, look.
That could be nasty.
Oh, yeah. Intruder alarm. Ooh,
well, even though you can only tap her generally one time a turn, you do still have access to all of like the Selesnya populate mechanics.
Yeah.
So everything you can dump in and just populate with your mana sink mana.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll make 20 eggs.
Well, in
your
addition
Blasphemous
to
your Act resolves.
Well, and also in a, yeah, you. Exactly. And in addition to the
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's like that Conclave Senator. It's like 4 mana to a populate or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you also have access to the token doublers.
Yep.
In green and white.
All of the good token doublers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the best ones.
So. Just thinking about it.
Yeah. Just thinking of what else do I want to add in here now?
Yeah, it just gives you a lot of options for how you can.
If you are the devil, Martyr's Bond, because not only, ooh, it's just the white grave pact, not only are they sacking creatures when your dinosaur's dying, but you're coming out on top. That's real bad.
That would be intense.
Yeah, it's a good thing there's no black in there either. Every time my creature dies, you have to sacrifice one of yours.
Yeah.
Martyr's Bond is that, but for permanence of your choice. So if someone's killing your enchantments, they have to sack enchantments, but everyone around the board does.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Martyr's Bond is a nasty, nasty card, but it's like 6 cost or something, so it's not.
Yeah, but.
Everything's green, but.
You guys just keep feeding me.
Yeah, Brian's
Brian's like got a notebook out.
I need to buy this and this and this. Send a message to whichever car store's close by.
They just reprinted the Martyr's Bond, and it's like actually cheap and affordable now.
Nice.
It's in the Gideon spellbooks. It's like $2.
Really?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Time to buy myself another Gideon spellbook.
Yeah, I definitely don't have one sitting there.
It's gone missing somehow. Yeah. I don't know.
So essentially, because of what we just mentioned with what you can do with Atla, she is naturally a relatively strong commander, being able to give you this creature advantage early game. You kind of get a board state that gets almost like you can get up turn 7 board state on turn 3. It's nasty.
She is a removal target for sure.
Yeah, she becomes a huge. There's a target on her back the second that she
a
gets
Doomblade Magnet.
Out. Yeah, exactly.
But let's break it down like we always do. Break it down. So we're gonna look at a few key components first, like normally.
Yeah.
Like normally do for a deck tech.
Mm-hmm.
So first things first, we in this deck. Or in any Attila deck, we want to ramp like crazy because we're in green.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at it here, okay? Like, green, ramp, how many times have we talked about this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mana
you just
doublers.
Generate such a big advantage if you have more mana than everyone on the field.
Yeah.
And, like, Attila, like, yeah, it's a 4-cost commander, so it's a cheap commander. It takes 2 to activate its ability. That's cheap as well. But let's face it, okay? If you're playing big things and everyone keeps on targeting Atla, you're going to have to add the tax, commander tax for it again and again and again and again. Eventually, it's just like...
It's not going to be worth it to try to cast her again. So you get to a point where you're going to need and want to have the mana available to hard cast these creatures.
And let's think about this, okay? It's like I have a choice between... Like, casting Atla for, like, let's say 10 mana, because you know, everyone's a jerk and kills her, like, constantly. Or, hey, look, I have this 8-cost big creature, which I normally use Atla for, but now Atla's gone,
just
and
dump
I have
it
10,
in.
Yeah, just dump it
hey
in.
Hey, guys, here's Takama.
Well, and without ramp, you don't want to be stuck holding, like, an Avacyn, a Baneslayer, Archangel Thune. Like, you have 28 CMC in your hand with 3 land on deck, and what am I doing, guys?
Pass.
Yeah, any mana grab creatures would be your friend.
Oh, well, yeah, exactly. That's kind of why I like a mix of that ETB and dinosaur theme in the one we built.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, like, once again, like, even with this, like, I don't know if I would use mana ramp creatures. I would probably use the spells still.
And
just because, like, I don't want to run the risk of, like, popping an egg or cracking an egg and be, like...
For a Sakura Tribe Elder?
Yeah.
And
I was
like,
okay.
That's
exactly what I wanted.
That's what
I want, too.
I love that.
Yay! Oh, look, I got a Birds of Paradise!
We've discussed how Sherman feels about a bop, so...
Gonna vote you! Yay!
Plus, every single color, if you're doing pure drive, like pure dinosaur tribal, which is the way I'm going, is that each of those colors has a cleric that makes all the dinosaurs cheaper regardless.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, okay.
It is the dinosaur color for sure. It is the best commander for that.
Mm-hmm.
Other than maybe Zakama, but.
But even still, I think.
Zakama's real pricey to play.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's why you dump Zakama into this deck. And that's
play
why.
Play roulette with him?
Yeah, well, like, I've wanted a dinosaur deck for a very long time, but it just didn't make a ton of sense to try to find an appropriate commander that actually had utility as opposed to just the right colors. So it was really cool when Atla finally came out that it was time to really, like, spin the wheel.
Well, the thing with Atla, too, is people either know what she is and is excited for her, or they kind of glanced over her with all the new commanders.
Mm-hmm.
Most times when people actually see them, they're like, well, I'm going to make this.
Yep.
Yeah. It's an overall, it's just a really, really fun mechanic to play with.
If you like gambling,
this is the deck. Which I do.
This is probably the deck that when I play it, I have the absolute most fun.
It is a gamble, because you don't know what's going to pop off the top. But at the same time, if you have the library manipulation, since you're in green,
yeah.
So you have Sylvan Library, you have Miri's Guile, you know, you can scry like crazy, if you have Lifecrafter's Bestiary, if you go to Artifacts, you have Sensei's Divining Top, you have a bunch of things where you can manipulate.
There's a lot of potential for making this deck hyper competitive if you want. There's a definitely, not hyper competitive, but quite competitive.
Well, you can worldly tutor whatever you want to the top of your deck and then reveal it.
Yeah.
Can we just go back through that list so I can write it down?
We are a CEDH group. Casual.
Well, you can get really, really big things out, and Atla does have the chance, if you have something that can kill it out really early, you can get a pretty easy turn 3 Imprevious Great Worm out, a Blightsteel Colossus, any of these big terrifying things that make people not want to sit down with you.
Yeah.
You can get all those out.
Once again, we don't need friends.
Yeah.
We can play by ourselves.
Exactly. We have 4 of us right here.
Yeah.
What more do we need?
I see Atla just like Greece the Redeemed. It's such a target early game.
Because it's
I don't want you creating an army of tokens. Because no one will want to swing at you if you have 5 of these 0/1 ags out.
Yeah.
No one wants to swing unless they have flying or unblockable, so you don't block with these 0/1s, and then you're just like...
That's exactly what we actually have written down later in the notes here.
That's actually your next point. That makes it... That's, for one of the key components, which is a great segue here.
You need to kill those tokens.
Yeah, you need to find ways to kill your tokens.
Exile them. If you're the opponent, you got to exile those instead of destroying them.
So either that or you take out Atla first. Mm-hmm. One of the two. But, either way, you want to find ways to kill your own tokens, because most people aren't going to, you want to be able to respond to them. So, my personal favorite of doing this is Pyrohemia. Because we're in red. Pestilence for red, yeah. Because, you can tap a red to deal 1 damage to all creatures and players. Don't you dare write that down. let's think about it, okay? All the eggs are 0/1s. You pay 1 red mana, you wipe them all out, and you get a bunch of new creatures.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down for
big
that.
Big boys.
Skull Clamp is a real good way to get rid of those two.
While you're drawing cards.
Exactly. Which, again, we've talked about many times.
Draw 2, Avacyn comes in.
Oof.
what would proc first for, though, the egg? Or you choose, right?
You order your triggers.
Yeah. Yeah, you decide how that sounds.
Man, I play all my creatures and then I draw my cards.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Same. It's incredible.
Why do I play with you guys?
But it's fun.
In the dinosaur deck, Marauding Raptor is actually one of the ones I have in it. If you're going the dinosaur route, that's what you want. Whenever a creature enters, it pings it.
So, that's right!
Yeah, it gives the Marauding Raptor +2/+0, and it'll proc it every time you do it. It'll auto-kill.
Ha 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 ha. And it's only got 2 costs, too.
Yeah, so it can be out right when Atla first hits the board.
That's wild.
That's a great combo.
Oh, man. There's so many things to do. And, that's what I love about dinosaurs. Of all the tribes that or big creatures that you play, mm-hmm. I think dinosaurs are the best, because you have dinos in all the colors fairly spread out evenly, Because, if you went to angels, it's mostly white, all right? If you went for, elementals, it's mainly green and red. If it's, if you went to Eldrazi, you're kind of all over the place with them, So, with dinos, you have pretty much an even spread of all of them. And a lot of them have, the damage mechanic and, enrage and everything.
Yeah.
That's the reason why I like Pyrohemia, because since a lot of them will have that, it's I deal 1 damage to all of them. They all trigger, yay! Polyraptor.
Yeah, the Polyraptor.
The elder dinosaurs were just a pretty cool overall arc of creatures. I really, really like when they do stuff like that, similar to the Praetors. Yeah. I love having a big, stompy individual card.
Yeah, well, the Elder Dragons are another example of that. Same, same. Just having these big, huge, intense creatures. Love that.
Just like the big white dinosaur.
Zatalpa,
yeah.
Flying double strike.
Indestructible.
Vigilance, trample, indestructible.
I still hate the fact that they put Zatalpa in one of the pre-cons from the last set. You know, I can't remember which one it was, because a group of us got together and we were all playing them out of the box, and none of us could deal with Zatalpa.
Yeah.
And I know they needed to reprint Zatalpa, but at the same time, it's just why did you guys put it in? It makes no sense. So.
But none of the other decks have removal for it.
It's indestructible. There's nothing you can, everything else is destroy unless you steal it somehow.
In the Doran deck, that card is just a powerhouse because it's double strike that's hitting with its backside of 8. Yeah. So 16 flying trample indestructible vigilance.
Yeah. Every turn.
Yeah, it's problematic for sure.
Yeah.
Greasy.
But there are a lot of really, really cool dinosaurs. That's why we did go down that tribe.
And obviously, since it is a tribe, they synergize beautifully with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we kind of talked. The shell of how you would build this deck is generally going to be the same for most people. It's just going to slot in whatever you want to do. And you can also just make a board wipe tribal. This deck does not fear the board being wiped.
No.
You're going to come out on top every time.
Yeah, it encourages the board wipe. We live for the board wipe.
You guys do. I do too. Never mind.
Especially if you can make your dinosaurs indestructible.
That's just me.
Because eggs are not dinosaurs. So.
Yeah.
Because I have to say that this theme is perfect for where we live.
Yeah. The third component we want to talk about, Brian actually touched on a little bit, and that's killing off players who can exile your creatures.
Mm-hmm.
You're in green, you can reset your graveyard really easy, you can get things back. It's so easy to Eternal Witness or reap from the past your graveyard.
God's blessing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You do not want people to exile your creatures. Anyone who has exile colors, Merciless Eviction, maybe a Rest in Peace, a Leyline of the Void, kill that player. Yeah. Kill them as fast as you can, and then play your dinosaur overlords.
Yeah.
I'm your captain now.
Yeah, the exile definitely hurts and everything. Especially when you want to find ways to bring those creatures back from the graveyard, in either on the battlefield or into your library. If they're going to exile them, you know, that hurts. If they're going to exile your eggs, that's going to hurt. So it stops your plans every single time. So let's look at it real fast here. What colors do that? White for sure.
White, black.
Yeah, anyone who can run Merciless Eviction.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Blightsteel Colossus them, but Blightsteel Colossus them.
And again, it keeps coming back. Why am I the bad guy?
Group hug with what was it, Brian?
Ginger Texas.
So, does anybody want to respond to Brian now?
But he lets me draw.
Yeah.
Yeah, lets you draw. Yeah. I have nothing.
And no, almost won the game.
In Brian's defense, maybe Brian's running it so that he can try and be a nice guy and reanimate people's cards from the graveyard.
No.
Brian?
I am not going to deny that.
No further questions from my client.
I am happy I have you as my lawyer.
So, with that, you know, those are the key components for it. The fun thing about this deck is just, like we mentioned before, it's just the aspect of you don't know what's going on. It's a roll of the dice. You don't know what creature's coming out. It's not like you're planning it out.
No.
So it's like, okay, I hope for this one dinosaur that will, you know, wipe out this one creature and this one player and everything. I get it?
It's the same kind of excitement that comes with being, Chaos Warped, but, every turn.
It's like, please, please, you're please, like, come on.
Well, it's almost like a mini Primal Surge just for creatures that you don't have to fear hitting. It's the excitement of a Gen Wave without being like, am I going to get a spell?
Yeah. And then, you know, but the whole problem is you do it, five times.
It's so fun, though. It's insane. But, there have been times where I have dropped things that are, objectively at that point in the game, not good. you know? But there are other times where, you know, an Elder Dinosaur comes in, and it is a complete game changer on turn four. It is nasty and fun, and I love it.
That's the fun about gambling.
Exactly. You don't condone gambling.
The deck can be used in a degenerate way. There is a pretty good combo to go through your whole deck.
No one likes D-Gens, Daniel.
Yeah, but it's if you have a Ashnod's Altar and Thornbite Staff. Thornbite Staff will auto-equip to Atla when you play her, which is pretty good. Thornbite Staff is just an untap for her, so you can continuously make eggs, sack the eggs for the mana to untap her. And if you do that, then it's your classic go through your deck, hit Urabrask, and have haste on all your creatures. And
Brian's eyes are just like, oh, wide right now.
I need a second pen.
Yeah. I'm just trying to remember, because like, there's cards that like you don't go searching anymore. You can, or you don't randomly reveal, like, go and find. Mm-hmm. It changes up that wording, right? So yeah. I'm just like, how can I do this? So mm-hmm. I don't have to gamble. I can just win.
Like I said, it makes it very potentially... You can make this deck very competitive if you want to.
Well, mm-hmm. you could also run this deck in the way of like a Nikia deck, where you don't run any spells at all. You could just go flat creatures.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make it creature ramp, and then make it just huge, huge creatures. Run like a 60 to 65 creature deck flat out. And
that's like... You have a deck like that with the commander, Brian. You can't play spells. What was
that? I have Nikia.
Yeah, so you get it.
Never mind.
Nikia runs like one spell, and it's usually Primal Surge for if somebody has the audacity to kill Nikia.
I don't even have that. It's just all creatures. There's no enchantments.
All creatures.
This
all
is
the
Brian's
time.
Redemption arc.
Let's keep going here, because we're going to run out of time at this rate. it's just compounded. Like, well, next thing, you know, next episode, we're going to have 16 people here all talk. We only get through 1 point, and that's it.
We've actually rented a whole community center.
Oh, boy. Okay, so...
Some strats.
Yeah, some key strategies to it. First one, off the bat, we need to protect the commanders.
Yeah, that it's going to die a lot.
Yeah,
just accept that.
Just get ready for it.
So much.
This isn't Norn the Wary. It's not going to survive every game.
No.
So we have the usual. Like let's face it, okay? White, green are awesome for that. Red, yeah.
I tried.
So artifacts are going to replace red here. So when we talk about three colors, even though... artifacts are colorless, we're going to color it as red, okay, so it's not left out. But white has color protection mm-hmm. Spells, and some of them you can flash out, mm-hmm. okay, or some of them are instant speed, so
yep.
that would help a little bit, okay, like Godsend is a instant protect from a color of your choice for white, and you get a scry one. You know, you also have things like indestructibility, invulnerability mm-hmm. for enchantments for white. Green, as we mentioned before, has regenerate, yeah. things like that.
Heroic intervention, that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah. White actually has, used to have protection. Regeneration, interference protection, of which we said you should do not really need, but you can if you have $55 extra that you can spend.
Has asceticism in it, really good for hexproof on your creatures. It even has the, I think it's Archetype of Endurance, whatever the green archetype is, where all your creatures have hexproof.
Yeah, that'd be excellent.
Well, then there's also, like, there's the one that we mentioned, Heroic Intervention, but there's the white one as well.
Oh, in Stomping Formation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make sure creatures indestructible.
Yeah.
That would be really good.
Yeah, white is really, really good at keeping everything alive.
Obviously, yeah.
Plus, if you want to run some clerics or something like that, like, to prevent damage.
Oh, yeah.
And let's go back to that, like, with green, because green has a lot of things that gives hexproof, which mm-hmm. is also important, because a lot of things are going to target the commander. So, like, Hero of Sin's Redgen gives everything indestructibility and hexproof. Then you have, like, things that are way cheaper, like, I think it's, like, Ranger's Guile or, like, Hapatra's Mark or something like that. You know, you also have, like, the artifacts like Lightning Greaves, Swiftfoot Boots, things that we normally are used to.
Yeah, the general staples.
The general staples. So, but... like, we want to protect her just because, like, it's going to be annoying to bring her out constantly. Unless, like, you have, like, 5 or 6 egg tokens and she dies. Like, hey, look, I have a Song of Frailes. I'm going to tap all of them to bring her out again. Yay!
Well, you're also in colors that can annoy people a lot. Like, you're in the best removal colors for everything. You have Exile. You have artifact destruction, like you don't know what to do
artifact
with.
Artifact enchantment.
And the same with enchantment. So anything that is problematic, you're going to sit there and blow up, and people generally aren't happy about that.
Yeah.
And you're playing red, so bolts and shocks and
oh, yeah. Well, stuff. Pyrohemia, like you said. I'm trying to run a token deck, and you whoops.
Well, even if you have like a lightning bolt or something like that, if someone's like at the beginning of the game, bolt they're trying to burn. Ramp. Yeah, they're trying to ramp, you bolt it.
Yeah. See, I would run, like, even though it's dinosaurs and everything, I would run, what's his name, from Avanket, the one that, like, when you deal damage, get a minus one counter instead for your opponents, like, whatever
mage. Soulscar Prowess, yeah.
Soulscar Mage with
Prowess, yeah.
So I would run that, and then I would run stuff like Pyrohemia, I would run, Pyroclasm, or even better, you know what would be more fun? Okay? If you run things like, the old card, like, Orcish, artillery or whatever, if you run Brothers of Fire, where, you know, they do damage to creatures or whatever, and they do damage to you, but you're in white, so let's put a lifelink stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like Spirit Link, lifelink, you know, like Basket of Collar in it.
Goblin Bombardment's also really good in this deck. The ability to sack your creatures to target damage at what you want, and then still play your roulette games.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, just sack all your eggs and get them, get whatever you need. It's like, you deal the damage, you get the, you know, gotta love that. So.
Another awesome strategy in this deck is giving your creatures haste.
Yeah, haste, I love it. But like, let's face it, okay, like, you know, like, that's another way technically kind of to protect Elta, Atla.
Did you say Elta?
We're not frozen.
Let it go.
The press tender.
So yeah, because like if you bring it out, you want to try to use her
ability as fast as you can.
Yeah, and let's look at it. Okay, we're in red. Red has a lot of haste.
Yeah.
Okay, green a little bit here and there from time to time. Okay, artifacts for sure because you have lightning greaves and swiftfoot boots, which also protect. Right. So why not? But it lets you use up everything right away, use her ability right away. And also, if you bring out the creatures, let's say it's your turn, your first main phase, you have like a few of the egg tokens, you wipe them all out, you bring out these big creatures, and then it's just like, oh look, they all have haste, I'm going to attack now,
anger,
something that's no one,
grasp,
yeah,
whatever.
And like, and that's the thing, like, you know, Samut. It's great for this. Samut, Voice of Descent. Cause gives all your...
Is that the new Samut?
It's the one from, Amonkhet.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but, you know, she has like double strike vigilance and stuff like that, but she gives all your creatures haste, and she has the ability to untap a creature.
Oh.
Right? So then you can use your commander twice.
And I mean, it's like kind of on brand also.
Yeah, sure, she's a human, but... Who cares? You get untapped. You get to give all your creatures haste. So it has a dual purpose, you know. And that's what I love about a creature like Samut, because when I try to build decks, I try to look for things that have dual purpose. Okay. So if it does, you know, it like in this case, it gives my creatures haste and it can untap my commander. You know, if you have like Lightning Greaves. Like, it protects the commander and gives it haste. And you can protect, like, other creatures at the same time. So, heroic intervention makes things indestructible and they're hexproof. Like, these are all dual-purpose spells or creatures, which is fantastic.
Well, red, you can also really, really easily get extra combat steps, too. So if you have any of your haste creatures out, then you're dinosaur rouletting, you're getting an untap in going... There's a lot of really good ways to get in with a lot of damage and still keep being able to untap Atla.
Yeah. So, but haste is great, you know, especially when you have it, it's just for yourself. Like, Concordian Crossroads is for green, and that gives it for everyone. And a lot of people are like, well, I don't know about if I want to give, like, other people haste. But the thing is, for something like this, my argument is put it in, because it's a one-cost haste enabler. But on top of that, you're expecting to be able to use haste. No one else really is. So for them, it's kind of a side bonus that they might forget or not remember to use. But since you're trying to give haste to most of your creatures or all your creatures, you're already used to it. So you're going to remember that constantly.
Well, it's also, it's similar to a Kalia deck, right? Like, a lot of people wouldn't want to put a Howling Mine in it, but you're trying to draw big creatures in Kalia. You don't care if someone's drawing a Rampant Growth if you're going to sit there and you're going to draw one of your big demons that's going to swing in for 9 damage. Yeah. It's the same for this, right? You're trying to cheat out big creatures. So, like, yeah, sure, their Llanowar might get haste. The only your Sakama might, too.
Yeah, the only difference is that with Kalia, you have to play from your hand. So if you don't draw those big creatures,
yeah.
Where with this, you're like...
But yeah, it's the same thing, right? Like, it's... In Kalia and in this, like, you know you're going to be running bigger things mm-hmm. than most people, right? Yeah. You know that those dinosaurs are going to be big, like, 10-10 things. You're going to... What? Who cares if their 2-2 has haste?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Nope. That is a sacrifice I'm willing to make every time.
A 2-2 versus, like, I don't know, like a 9-9. An
Apex Altasaur.
Or a Frozen Cloud Scraper 13. Or 12, yeah, 13-13.
Yeah, ooh. In previous Great Worm comes out.
16, what is it? 16? 13.
Yeah, 16-16 Indestructible.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Thank God my Priest of Titania can tap.
Good Lord.
maybe I can bribe it with mana.
I hear you, like, convoke.
If we play this, okay, can we make a deal where, like, you know, you guys don't attack me constantly with... Why? I promise, if I'm playing blue, I will not use Cyclonic Rift.
Ever?
No. I'm trying to think of a way to use it so I don't affect you.
I don't...
I'll play it within the first 10 turns.
The first 10 turns are still big turns for me.
Okay, so let's go on to the next thing here. We kind of touched about this a little bit with Samut, but untapped creature cards is something that we want in here. Because we want to use Akla... a few times, you know, at least twice per turn or something like that, or a few times per turn. So, off the bat, the best thing is probably Seaborn Muse. So,
Seaborn Muse goes in every green deck.
Yeah.
It could be just straight vanilla creatures with no abilities, you'd still run Seaborn.
I mean, why not?
It's good. Untap. It's
a great creature.
Yeah. Great teacher.
We love her.
So, there's that, Seaborn Muse. Thousand Year Elixir is also a good one. Okay.
Which one's that one? I don't remember it. I think I have it in my...
It just lets you use abilities the first turn they come out.
And you can tap one and tap it to untap a creature.
An untap creature.
Yeah. Yes, yes. If you want something that's lower cost, because Thousand Year Elixir is a little more expensive, there's Puppet Strings, which is like a common originally from Tempest and it's been like redone and all that stuff. There's a really, really old one called Instill Energy, which is kind of pseudo haste, sort of like what Thousand Year Elixir does and everything, because it lets you untap, is an enchant creature, lets you untap the creature, and you can use it right away, but you cannot attack. So it's kind of pseudo haste at the same time. But like, overall, all these things, basically, we're gonna use it to tap, Akla, create an egg token, untap Akla, tap Atla, create another egg token. Hopefully we have Seaborn Muse at the same time. So when it's an opponent's turn, we get to do everything all over again.
Yeah.
So it's like, yay, by the time it comes back around to us, you know, maybe we get 6 eggs, hopefully. And then our turn, maybe 8. And then we pop them all. Pop. And then, I'm cooking! Who wants an omelet? Dinosaur omelet for you, and for you, and for you. Everybody gets an omelet!
Look under your chair!
Look under your chair! You have a dinosaur, and you get a dinosaur, and you get a dinosaur!
Everybody gets a dinosaur! Coming at them in the combat step.
Yeah. But I don't want it! I can't pay the taxes on it! So... Untapping Atla to use her...
Naturally, very valuable.
Yeah, very, very valuable. You know, and like we need to find these things just because, like, it's easier to you know, get your egg tokens. Because, you know, getting one egg token per turn, it's still, like, it's average, let's say, okay? So if you want to, what you want to do is you just want to make sure you, like, go for the, like, if that's one's an average, let's try to go for at least 2, you know, 2 to 3, and go from there, okay? But that's what's untapping the creatures. What we're going to do here is we're going to go on to the thing that I love to do the most, And that is Scrying and Library Manipulation.
For the record, this is not how I play this.
I play this a lot. Not in Atla, but this is
straight up, like, this is more like if you're looking to make this deck a little bit more competitive, a little bit more aggro, and a little bit less randomized.
Like, I'm all for things being random, you know, because, you know, roll of the dice, blah, 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 blah. But I like to control things at the same time. I am a blue player, after all. So, yeah, don't roll your eyes at me, Brian. You know that.
But no, like, I totally feel that. But for me, like, playing the Atla deck, I want the level of surprise. You know, like, I want the element of randomness and fun and not knowing what's going to happen next and not knowing if I'm going to get, like, that an itty-bitty little two-cost dinosaur or if I'm going to drop something like Zatalpa. You know, like, that's what I'm looking for. Those are the kinds of, like, those are the kinds of plays that, like, I love Atla for. So, and I certainly understand, like, how you can make this deck, like, much more intense.
Yeah.
And with much less roulette.
Yeah, with the manipulation.
That's the thing for me personally. Like, I'm not about, like, the randomness. Like, yeah, I like red as well, and red's kind of known for that. But if, like, I'm not a big fan of random. I like calculating things. I like to manipulate things. I like to negotiate and politic with everyone else, right?
Not me. I want a 10-10 or a 1-1 and nothing
in between.
I'm going to get, you know, a black permanent marker and that 10-10 will be like, eek, 1-1.
So, I'll play Elko. It is now a 3-3 elk.
So, let's look at the cards that you can use, because, like, if you don't want to, like, have this roulette system, like, let's look at this
you
way,
do.
Okay?
You do want to have that, just so everyone knows. But, yes.
But if you don't, there are cards that let you, you know, go through, and we already mentioned a bunch of these cards at the beginning. Sylvan Library, Miri's Guile, Lifecrafter's Bestiary, Bestiary. I always call it Bestiary. Yeah. I call it the Pokédex. Yeah. Like, I cast the Pokédex, because that's what it looks like on the art. You know? I see a creature there. I'm going to scan it. Here it is. Tell me what it is. It's a Pokédex. Call it a Pokédex.
The dinosaur-type Pokémon.
It sounds like you're trying to rig the deck.
Yeah.
I am trying to rig the deck.
I am. Cards,
boys. Yeah, counting cards.
I used to count cards.
I don't think you should be saying that right now.
That's a joke.
I still do. I have how many? 1, 2, 3, 4 cards here.
100.
So, I need to count up to 100, or at least 99 for this game. So, I am counting cards. But, like, I'm all about manipulating things. I want to guarantee certain cards that come out, you know. So these things that help manipulate the top of the library go a long, long way. You know, like, even things like Sensei's Binding Top, you know, that's more expensive. Silver Library is more expensive than anything. Sure, like, those are really great cards. And Silver Library, I think, is probably the best of all, even though it's so expensive. Because, like, if you look at those three, and all three of those you don't like or whatever, or you know, you can just put them, pay the life and put them in your hand and you get another three. So it's not a big deal. Finding things that let you scry would be really nice. There's also, like, what was that new card? Like, the Forge or whatever from, like, M20. Mystic Forge. Yeah. Lets you look at the artifact, lets you look at the top card of your library and you can play, is it cast or play? Should be cast, I think.
You can play if it's
an artifact. Oh, so you can play land? Oh, okay. So, now, something like that would be really nice. Like, anything that lets you go through the top of your library so it's not as unpredictable. Like, Corsair or Crew Fix would be nice, too, because you can, like, play lands from the top of your library. Mm-hmm. Things like that, you know. I'm very, very weird where I like to try to control the deck or the library as much as I can, you know, or dig through it as much as I can. Like I said before, I'm not that much of a random guy. So,
but I personally just love that aspect of not knowing what's coming up and just kind of seeing, yeah.
Totally. That's exactly it. Just rolling the dice.
Like, yeah, it's cool, again, if you manipulate the top. And sure, like I've mentioned many times, buy a Blightsteel for this deck. But,
saying you need one, but
that,
like,
being
you can't
said,
win.
Like, yeah, like everyone understands that's a good play, but that's not what people remember. People remember that I killed three eggs and I hit Farhaven Elf, then I hit a Llanowar Elf, and Zakama. People are like, oh, no way!
Yeah.
Those are the ones that make really fun nights, I think.
That's the play. That's the play of the
game. Or you could be either disappointed.
Yeah.
Or you're just...
Yeah.
Well, you could be facing something, and you could... I have... Someone's trying to get rid of Atlas. Someone's trying to get rid of Zakama. And I have five dinosaurs. I sack all five, and I'm looking for Shylai. I want everything hexproof. Come on, Shylai. Yeah.
No,
pulling those things, though, like, it's happened. Like, I've done it in games against you specifically.
Yeah.
Like, having the dinosaur roulette of a lifetime, you know?
Well, it's no different. One time I was playing against Boros Angels for Hope. I Chaos Warped Avacyn. Hope shuffles the deck up.
It was the greatest moment of my life. Deck
back down. Top card, Avacyn.
I jumped out of my seat. I yelled. I've never been more excited in my entire life. Daniel's never been more upset.
Yeah. I had a board wipe on the stack. Chaos Warp. Thought it was going good. It was not.
Yeah.
And it's just like this whole deck is getting to relive that moment. The whole deck. It's amazing.
Yeah, so everything's a dinosaur in one Avacyn.
Oh, it's so much fun, but though.
The thing is, if you give everything indestructible, you have to find a way to sacrifice it.
But it's like in general, like being able to like have that excitement, like
that like level is what like, I need coming up.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's like totally. It's insane. It's nasty. Well, that's why making just dinosaurs indestructible is cool, because then eggs aren't.
But even that is very true.
That's a nice little technicality with this deck.
But even then, like with this deck, and we're gonna go into this actually next. Well, let's just talk about this next, actually, okay?
Sacrifice
is damaging your tokens, because we've already talked about how people want to attack you and everything. Let's just assume that your 0/1 eggs are indestructible.
Sacrifice.
Okay? Yeah, like we're gonna want to sacrifice them, okay? So Goblin Bombardment, you would sacrifice them. Skull Clamp, you would technically sacrifice them. You know,
the Ashnod's like
Blasting Station also works. Like, there's a lot of things. One thing I don't know, like, how would Kiki Jiki Mirror Breaker work with an egg? Like, if you copied an egg,
is Kiki Jiki sacrifice?
Yeah, it says sacrifice. So that technically works, right? So can somebody look that up? I'm pretty sure Kiki Jiki says like copy a creature. You know, then it gains haste, and at the end of turn, you sacrifice it. So if that's the case, hey, look, that's an auto boom.
It sacrifices, yep.
So with an egg token, Atla and a Seymour Muse every turn. Boom, 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 boom. I love it.
That's angry.
Please don't play that against me. But... all the things I hope for, yet people will never do. But, yeah, sacrificing is a huge thing here. I personally like Blasting Station a lot, just because I have it's like one of my favorite cards. Goblin Bombardment is definitely a narrow one here. Skull Clamp is probably one of the best. Then there's also things like, you know, Altar of, Ashnod's Altar, Phyrexian Altar, stuff like that. Altar of Dementia would probably not be a good include here, unless you, because sacrificing the egg tokens and millions for zero kind of sucks. But you can always sacrifice dinosaurs, I guess, because they're big power.
If you want to win that way.
You do. You're Mr. Mill. I don't know how many people know this, and we mentioned it in previous podcast here, but Brian loves the mill.
I love everything you guys hate.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, Brian is the embodiment of everything that hurts my soul.
You should play against the Deku Star deck.
Yeah, everyone's just waiting for Brian to make Gaddock Teague.
Brian's sitting at home with Gaddock Teague on like a little altar of like hatred.
I had him in my enchantment deck, but I can't remove
him. Of course you do. I don't hate Gaddock Teague that much. I play creature decks, I don't care.
Yeah.
But
it never really worked, so I just had to get rid of it.
Yeah, that's
fair. Yeah, that's fair. But sacrificing is probably the best way of doing a lot of these things.
Allows you to control it.
Yeah. So damage not as much.
Well, the ability to sacrifice too is instant speed. Someone targets to remove Atla, like we've said, will happen.
Sack, 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 sack.
And you Phyrexian alter your board, and let's play the game.
Yeah. Let's do it, boys.
So, and that's the thing. Like, it comes down to, like, if you're playing against Atla deck, it's like, do you go after Atla Or do you go after, like, these things that allow them to sacrifice, you know? And it comes down to, like, you know, what mana they have open. You know, they might have a counterspell, because they're green, green, red, white, and yeah, it's me. I know they have counterspells. So.
Don't get started.
What? I love counterspells, especially in other colors. My favorite one still is Mage's Contest. I get them every single time. For anyone that doesn't know, Mage's Contest is a counter in red. Of all colors, red. And the best thing about it, it's like a colorless red, red. And, you and the other person that cast a spell, you guys bid life to see if it stays on. And, you start off with a, bidding of one. So it's like, okay, I'll bid one, the other person will bid two. I'll be like, okay, like, this sucks. Go with 10. You know, do you want to pay 10 life?
39.
Or not?
Yeah, you would never win that with me and my brothers. We would start with 39.
Yeah.
I don't know, because, like, I'm a jerk when it comes to things like that, because I'll play, like, Axis of Morality so I can switch things. I'll have Phyrexian Unlife, so I'll switch things again. Like, I really don't care.
The card Game of Chaos ends any game me and my brothers play.
What's that? I don't really know that one.
It's 3 red mana.
Yeah.
You flip a coin, and the loser of the flip takes a damage and can choose to repeat the process, and it doubles the damage every time. Or the winner chooses to repeat. So yeah, we just play till one of us dies. Every game. Oh, but you also gain life, so like, it'll be like, Sherman loses 16, I gain 16. Now we go to the next one, and then the next person will lose 17, gain
32.
17. 32. Or, yes, 32, sorry. Bad at doubling. But yes.
That's why we never put Daniel in charge of the math, it's always me.
So Daniel does not play any doubling cubes, huh?
Oh, he does. But your boy's got a calculator.
Yeah. How much mana do I have again?
Sitting there like Niv-Mizzet adding 4+4 on a calculator.
Daniel doesn't even wear glasses.
The fire mind is in the building.
He's got glasses on and an abacus.
Just thinking him with like the... the hat over
the little like visor.
He's like ch-ch-ch.
Making a change. Yeah. I should bring an abacus next time. I know how to use one.
Oh,
shocking!
Surprise.
Racist.
Oh! I can't believe you went there. I can't believe you went there.
I'll just say it. It's not like we were all not thinking
of
it. Oh. Okay.
I'm ashamed on the internet now.
Yeah. We're going to lose all our listeners and followers.
That's why we hate Brian. I'm just kidding. We love Brian.
I didn't bring it up. We were all just thinking it.
They can't take it away. It's a podcast in a basement.
I'm a slave down here. They have me chained up. I can't leave. They make me sort their cards.
Yeah. I wish.
I was going to say, if we made you sort our cards, we wouldn't have piles of cards on our table upstairs.
There's literally, in that closet there's a big rolling duffel bag that's probably
like a hockey bag.
800 pounds of cards, if you want to...
Brian, you and me, after the show, we're going to take it.
There's like a lionized diamond or two in there somewhere. I've been
trying Brian, to you're taking it now!
Totally.
Okay, let's keep going, because... This is why we always go off topic.
This is a good
thing. Now you see why, Brian, okay? Because, like, it's always the three of us, and Brian's like, I can't wait to join you guys. And I'm worried about this and that. And it's like, don't worry, you know, like, how do you guys keep track of time? We don't keep track of time. We just keep going.
Quick segue, by the way, for everyone who doesn't know, Brian is the other person who helps us post everything. It's the reason anything actually gets posted.
On our social media.
None of us are good at a posting schedule, so Brian is really the hero of that.
Brian is our social media guru, and we love him.
And Brian is the one that we can pick on, because he's not here most of the time.
Yeah.
Unless you guys pick on me.
Yeah.
But I'm here this time.
Yeah. Well, I'm picking on you just as much.
I feel like I should have my own podcast so I can counteract everything
that's
going
on to this one. Responding to this Into the 99 podcast, guys. Yeah.
In response with Brian.
Because I'm the number one.
I like this. No one's picking on me. This is nice. Actually, wait, you guys made fun of my advocates. Screw you all. On this podcast, they make fun of me. They laugh with a heart that they really need to pee. I don't care. In fact, I'll throw it for a loop. I'll make them laugh so hard they need to go poop.
Every time you sing, it's the same beat.
Yeah, it's the exact same song.
It's a hold time. Down.
It's like Sherman. Mary had a little
it's a hold down.
Sherman's creative with lyrics, but he knows one tune.
Yeah. That's just like my jank decks. I only know how to make jank now.
He only listens to one song.
Again and again and again. This
That's
is
the
why
only tune or melody I know.
This is why they keep me in the basement. That's all I can listen to. That's it.
We have it on loop.
Nobody puts baby in a corner. Oh,
so let's keep going now. What's the next topic? Graveyard manipulation and discarding cards. Because let's face it.
I have a question. Why would you want to discard?
No one can see you raise your hand.
Yeah, for the record, I did raise my hand. So, I don't know why.
Hope's always polite.
Yeah. I'm very Canadian. But no, what I'm saying is, like, in having...
Hey, sorry.
In having this deck...
Yeah, why would you discard?
Why? Like, I have this deck. I don't discard.
Yeah. So...
I play cards.
My thinking... Okay, and my thinking behind this, and... Most of you guys that have listened to me throughout the podcast and talked to me and everything, you guys know I kind of think really weirdly outside of the box. And when it comes down to graveyard manipulation, discarding cards, the reason why I would want to do this is because, like, let's say I cannot afford to pay for the casting cost of the creature. Now that's a dead card to me, okay? So, one, I want to draw more cards, and, like, red's has a lot of cards that are like, that where you draw cards, discard card, like Remedying or like Tormenting Voice, Cathartic Reunion, things like that, right? So we're going to want to, like, in my thinking is that we want to discard those cards and then, put those cards from the discard pile back into the library, mm-hmm. or, use things that, can, you know, later on, bring it back, like Eternal Witness or things like that, right?
Counterpoint.
Yes.
Ramp.
Yes. You can use ramp.
Hard ramp.
Hard ramp.
Hard ramp.
Well, Sherman?
Yes.
The hardest ramp.
If you don't have 10 mana by turn 3, you must.
You played the deck wrong.
Yeah.
But this is my thinking, okay? Reason why is because, like, let's say you have all your big creatures. Alright, and you board wipe and you want to bring those creatures back somehow, because you just don't have enough big creatures, right? You want to find a way to put them, like, back from the graveyard, either into play or into the library. So, bringing
one
them back.
One and done, that's my theory.
Yeah. Sorry?
Said one and done, that's my theory.
One and done, yeah.
Just the way that I feel, yeah, poor me. The way that I feel about this deck, though, is. The way that I feel about this deck is. If it's in the graveyard.
It's dead.
It's fossilized.
Yeah.
It's dead. It's a nine of four.
Yeah, get an architect just or an archaeologist.
Light it on fire. They're dead to me. We play roulette again.
And that's perfectly fine. And that's perfectly fine.
Spin that wheel.
Spin that show me potato salad.
But at the same time, this is one of the reasons why my jank decks can win. It's because people don't expect things like this. People don't expect you to... bring things back from the graveyard into the library, into play, and all that stuff. And this is one of the decks that would be really good for that. Because if they take out your threats, okay? If they take out your threats, and then from there, it's like, okay, we don't have to worry about it. Well, now I'm going to bring in things like a Felden's Cane or something like that. I'm going to, or a Crane of Archive. Guy's Blessing, whatever. I'm going to get those creatures. I'm going to put them back into the library. And then you guys have to deal with it again. Mm-hmm. Okay? And something that's kind of unexpected.
I feel like if you hit it, though.
But I think...
If you hit it, yeah. But that, once again, that's like always if you hit it, right?
I think in general, that's almost a better theory in Jund. At least Black has the reanimate abilities generally.
Black is way better for this. I totally agree with that, yeah. You know? Like Grave Pact and all that, or not Grave Pact, Living Death and Living Death, things like that. You know, I totally agree with you. And it's way better for that. But this is like, I would say this is something like on the side that you could try. So, but like, I agree with you guys 100%. You know, this is one of the things that you guys don't really need to do, but it is something that I would consider.
I would say consider it, certainly.
Yeah.
However, like, for me, the way that I play it is protect roulette. The creatures that you have and roulette hard.
Three gamblers versus one guy.
We win.
Yeah. Always bet on red. Always bet on black. I don't know. Whatever. Roulette. Black. How do you play roulette?
So you're saying red is
good. Always bet on red.
You're saying red is good.
I'm saying red is on a roulette
you're
wheel.
You're saying red is good.
In dinosaurs.
No, you're saying red is good.
I'm saying red is your dead.
Counterpoint, I like red.
Why?
I know red's fun.
Ew.
Red is good.
Red's the chaos color.
I do like chaos.
Very true.
The Norrin deck is...
Yeah, the fact that you play a mono red deck is nasty.
I play more than one. I'm building a new one, the Sir Carol.
Yeah, he's crazy. Like, I don't mind red as a support color, but a mono red deck, like, you're just a monster. You're an animal.
If there are any psychologists on here, Daniel needs some help.
Yeah, he certainly, he needs a lot of help.
There's something going on.
Yeah, there. He's not all there. Anyways.
Yeah, we started this podcast for a reason. We're all crazy.
Yeah.
Obviously, the final thing everyone already knows in the deck is you want to be able to populate, you want to be able to make more tokens. The more tokens you have, the more chances you have to get your big creatures.
Yeah.
And the scarier a board wipe situation is, because in this deck you can easily run things like a Blasphemous Act.
Hilariously.
You can one mana wipe your own field and end up with like 80 toughness and power on the board.
Mm-hmm. And you're running black, white and green.
Yeah, you're playing all of the good colors for it.
Yeah, so you populate, you can have doubling for like Anointed Procession, Parallel Lives, Song of Immortal. Yeah.
Well, then you also have that big board wipe. If you pay 10 or more, it destroys everything else on the board, and then you also get those 1/1
Marshals.
Yeah.
So you clear your eggs, get your big dinos, and then you're like, man, I have all these little cannon fodder.
Yeah.
Or, things like that, or like route, where, you know, everyone chooses one creature, destroy all the rest, so you save Alta, Atla, and then destroy all the eggs.
Mm-hmm. Phyrexian Rebirth, wipe the field, kill someone with a 40-40, enter the battlefield trigger on Warstorm Surge.
Oh my.
No. See, this is why people don't listen to us, it's because we're mean. We're so mean.
We're fun.
And again, let's stress this. This is casual.
Casual. CEDH. Casual.
The deck list we are going to end up posting for this one in the show notes is a really, really quick playing deck. It does have 16 two drops, 15 three drops. So you are going to have your most explosive plays early game. And early game, like we said, is where Atla really, really shines. You're going to be able to A, out-ramp the majority of people you're playing with, and you're going to be at a much later board state with the randomness of what you can pull from your deck. Just having an 8-8 out on turn 4 or 5 is scary. That's not where the game should be, right? Mm-hmm. So imagine if you're sitting and playing a game and you have to skip two turns. That's crazy. That would be a not good game.
Yeah.
That's where Atla lets you sit in general.
I have to say, if anyone got an 8-8 out on turn 4 or 5, with most of my decks, I probably wouldn't have an answer.
Unless you have one targeted removal or something, right?
Most people don't have an answer. Not at that point.
I have the perfect answer for it, no matter what. And that is, attack that player!
Yeah. I thought I was about to say scoop.
It's foolproof.
On theme of cheating the things out, though, there are two cards that are great in this deck. One is Lurking Predators. Every time an opponent casts a spell, you reveal the top card, if it's a creature, into play. That's real, real good.
That's crazy.
And then also Sunbird's Invocation. Whenever you're casting, you're basically doing a mini cascade version of it to get into other permanents as well. A lot of random cheating in both of them, but very, very fun in general.
Yeah, things like Sunbird's Invocation, like you're taking a turn off to like cast it, but at the same time, like you're trying to boost yourself, you're trying to benefit off of it, and it's like, it just basically involves you living for at least one turn. Mm-hmm. Which, granted, in Commander, that might not work, but at the same time, you take the risk, you politic, you look at the board state, you see what everyone else is doing, how they're doing, you know? If you have six mana open, You know, and you're not gonna cast Sunburst Invocation if everyone else has like an army and you have like an empty board state. No, you're gonna like build up that board state, you're gonna like get in a position where you can put it down, you can defend yourself and go from there.
Every game I have seen this deck play though is much, much farther in ramp. I have not seen another deck keep up with the ramp list that this
it's comes. It's insane. Like there have been many times where playing this deck and at like turn four or something, I've got something stupid like 11 mana or it's nasty. I don't even know how that's possible.
It'd be the same like Nykia. Like,
yeah.
Because I have all exactly. the big creatures in Nykia's five, so yeah, I have to have that mana thing. Ramp to get her yeah. out, so it doubles my mana.
Yeah.
So
then well, and you're running all those things that are giving you that mana.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Man.
The ability to just out ramp who you're playing with really is going to put you, A, as the target.
Yeah.
Be prepared for that.
Yep.
But also, it is going to put you in a spot for really, really big explosive plays. This is a great deck for A, big groups, or B, if you just like want to have a quick game going and stuff. And sometimes a quick game is nice.
Yeah, yeah, it is fun. It's also, I found that it was a lot of fun in one-on-one with somebody else, kind of also playing a little bit of a big boy deck just to see who can
out big boy the other.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of fun.
Atla versus Atla.
Yeah, seriously. Ooh. What did we play? We played Adla versus...
Oh, I don't know. I
don't know. But it was a lot of fun, yeah. Just
big versus big.
Yeah, big tribal versus big tribal, and just see who can kind of bonk each other the fastest. It was a lot of... Yeah, it can be a lot of fun.
We still need to do a Survivor...
Seriously.
Yeah. Like, everyone... Like, I don't know if you... if I told you about that, Brian, but we wanted to all make a deck where... like everyone has like a commander that deals damage to everyone else, you know, and then like see who survives.
If that's not up Brian's exact alley,
group slug.
I call Mogus.
Hard dibs.
Deck's already made.
I don't know who I would choose for that. I have no idea.
You Sir Kara for me for sure.
But moving on, this deck is really, really crazy. So it has like. It has, like, like we said, like, a lot of advantage for, like, ramp and bringing things out. But another big advantage of the deck is that counterspells won't affect Atla as her ability isn't casting.
Yeah, short of someone having a Hushbringer or
a Disallow. Yeah, but that only works once, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. You can stifle. I guess it's not even activated. You can stop. Yeah, you'd have to stop triggered abilities, and that's not a very common...
Uh-uh.
thing in Magic.
Yeah, and even if you, like, if someone runs, like, a Torpor Orb or something like that where you have no ETBs, who cares? You're playing Dinos, okay? Dinos are, like, big.
Yeah, this is ETG, boys.
Yeah. like ETBs are fantastic and everything, like, and you can run a deck that only has, like, ETBs for the creature and everything, but with Dinos don't care. They're just big and beefy. It's like, you know, they come in, they stomp, you damage them, they...
Get it? Because they're dinosaurs.
Yeah. If you're a lawyer, they're going to eat you in half.
They stomp.
Yeah. So, but that's one of the best things about them, you know. Like, creatures are the best removal of other creatures in a game. And the reason why is because if they're big and you're attacking, you know, the person has to choose whether to block and sacrifice the creature or take the hit. So if it's like a 3-3 or a 4-4, yeah, okay, fine. Oh, you're coming in with like a 16-16? That's too much damage. Do you have trample? No. I will definitely block that.
Okay? Well, this is going to insulate you really, really well from a lot of attacks. People aren't going to swing at you, especially just with a big normal stompy deck, because the fear of hitting someone's card is not good.
Yeah.
You don't know what's coming out, especially... You don't know, sitting on the table, you don't know if they're playing an angel deck or something like that. Suddenly, you swing for five, they block with five eggs, and they have five angels, six power toughness.
Yeah, that's like, I made a situation worse.
Yeah, they swing at you for 30 next turn, you're just sitting there like, okay, so...
I gain 30 life.
Yeah. Seriously.
I don't have to block anymore. It's...
Let's put it in
the easily get out of hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it'll get so out of hand so fast, you know.
And that's the thing. It's like, it's fun. I like playing this deck. Like, it's fun to play this deck with dinosaurs because it's, like, kind of on theme with Atla and the eggs and the... But, yeah, bringing out something like angels or bringing out something like the red, white, and green dragons, that can be hella nasty. So all of a sudden somebody's dropping a Tarka. Like, no thank you.
Mm.
I wasn't aware that angels came from eggs.
Which came first?
The egg or the egg?
Is that what we're calling the hell ball now?
Maybe. So, other than that, though, another big advantage is that you have no fear of board wipes due to the eggs. We've mentioned this a few times, and we're going to mention it again. Board wipes are your friend.
So, early game.
Yeah.
I'd probably play it on myself.
Yeah.
I'd probably wrap the gun eggs.
Well, yeah, that's exactly. You don't want to... You don't need to sit there and fear any of that stuff because, yeah, that is generally how you deal with the problematic board state, and this just makes it more problematic.
Let's face it, okay? If you board wipe and, like, if someone board wipes, okay, and you get all these creatures out, they have to make sure they have another board wipe ready.
At the ready.
At right then. Or they have to talk to everyone else saying, okay, I have one board wipe. Who else has a board wipe? Yeah. So we can handle this. Okay.
Or you can hope that you're in the glorious position of somebody not fully understanding what Atla does. You well, just like go, ah!
Like I said, this is a sleeper commander. A lot of people have not actually read it. And as soon as they do, they're like, all right, I'm going
to
make this deck.
They're like, all right, this is cool.
Or I'm going to have to keep an eye out for...
Yeah, for
yeah,
Atla players.
If you know what Atla does, you definitely want to keep an eye on her.
Yep.
I played one game with one of our friends in our community, and as soon as I saw what is able to be done with this commander, yes. I'm just like, sorry. As soon as it comes out,
has to die immediately.
It has so much
Must
potential.
Die.
Well, like I'm like we said, like turn if you're so turn one land of war, turn two you have three mana, and then turn three you're playing Atla.
Yeah,
like that could easily get out of hand so fast, and then sitting there's an 8/8 indestructible or 13/13 or whatever.
Yeah,
and you're like, okay.
Well, like you were saying with Zatalba, it's a creature at times you just can't deal with. If you don't have exile on your board, you're not dealing with Zatalba. You're just hoping that
it doesn't get swung at you.
Yeah.
Politic. Politic your butt off.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a one-on-one game and then you're screwed.
Yeah.
Or you're just, me and care about nothing.
Or no, if it's one-on-one, just like, okay, let's agree that when everything's said and done, you just, you know, scoop against me. And we'll go out to the sandwich store and get a panini.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're going to do.
Breast tender.
So, like we said, we posted this deck list online. It is no means competitive, but it is very, very fun.
Very fun.
For gamblers. Yeah, it is a dino tribal, so dinos are always fun.
Yeah. And if you want to go, if you're looking for a kind of tribal deck potential, like we said, like you can alter this to kind of fit your preferred tribe in those colors.
It is a very good tribe commander.
Yeah.
I have to say, like for dinosaurs, me personally, like I made a dinosaur tribal when they first came out.
Yeah.
Like when Ixalan and everything came out. But I wanted to make one, but I didn't. So then I was like, okay. And then I saw this one. I was like, this is the commander.
It is the commander that the dinosaurs were waiting for.
Yeah, she has arrived.
Zakama is awesome, but again, it's really, really costly, and people get pretty salty because most Zakama lists are, I'm going to bounce Zakama, and three damage. I'm going to bounce Zakama, three damage.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the deck list that most people go with Zakama, where they try board wipe, and all they're doing is destroying everything every turn.
Which is obviously... strong.
Yeah, combos a comma.
Yeah.
It does get you targeted.
Yeah. Well, and like, very much on this podcast and within the four of us, where you focus more on fun than we do on highly competitive, overpowered decks.
As soon as I hear combos, I shake my head.
Yeah.
I'm a combo player, so I love it.
Yeah, but I mean,
well, you can be wrong. You see some good combos. Some things are really, really interesting. Not everything has to be a degenerate combo.
No, things can be fun.
Yeah, but that being said, cool. it just really is. I think that Atla was the...
She broke Brian.
Brian's dead.
I think she was the commander.
There will be a new posting asking for our new
social media person.
But yeah, I do think that she is the commander dinosaurs were generally looking for.
Yep.
Yeah.
She is a very, very good tribe for that. She's also a good tribe just for big, big creatures. Green has a ton of just stompy creatures. So does white. All those big archons, like... Blazing Archon, anything like that.
Can you imagine bringing out Elish Norn and an egg?
Yes!
Roll that dice.
And then the green praetor?
Limited head size.
Eldrazi themed? Well, that's the whole reason you wouldn't run Eldrazi is because you generally is the cast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, they're strong, but the cast. You hate Eldrazi?
I hate Annihilator.
Okay.
Eldrazi conscription on an egg and just roll people.
You know what I would do?
That's how I like to play.
I would never be invited back.
Hope puts it on Birds of Paradise. Hope's a monster too.
Hilarious.
I'd run some sort of weird combo here. Like, I would run, like, Teshjar with a bunch of, like, zero-cost artifact creatures, like Ornithopter, like, the Shield Sphere or whatever, you know, like, Memnite. And I'd find a way to combo all of them off. And everyone would just look at me like, but it's a zero cost. Why? It's like, but hang on, you know, watch my Goldberg machine. I'll sacrifice this, combo with that, blah, 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 blah. And I'd have like eight cards that need to like combo off. That's what I would do. So, but anyways, I think that's the end of this episode here at this point in time.
Yeah, what tribes would you want to see played with this? What would you play with it? Mm-hmm. I'm a dinosaur fanatic for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, if you post your Atlanta Panini
press tender,
your deck, tag us in it at Into the 99 podcast.
Yeah, we'd love to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're definitely down to engage in conversation and talk strategies.
We have a Discord. We have an Instagram, Facebook page.
Twitter.
Oh my goodness.
Links on all the social media.
Yeah. Also make sure to feel free to leave us a little bit of feedback. Tell us what you think, what you would play and
if you
why
have
Ryan's
any,
the bad guy.
Yeah. If you have any topics,
that
you would like us to just talk about or anything along those lines, let us know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyways, catch you guys later.
Thank you for tuning in.
Bye.